Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. I think I'm going to ask Richard to have us do that a cappella again next week. That sounded really awesome, choir. Thank you for leading us. Today's gospel reading is the second to last week in a nearly six-month chronological walk through several chapters of Luke, the end of this year in the lectionary that we have spent with Luke. Next Sunday, we will celebrate Christ the King and the end of our liturgical year. The Sunday after that, Advent begins. Gasp. And with it, the beginning of the new church year and the start of lectionary year A and a journey with the Gospel of Matthew. But here we are at the end of Luke, and it is fitting that at this time of endings and new beginnings, that our own scripture, that our scripture mirrors this flow for us. And it teaches us something about how to live in such times of endings and beginnings in our own lives. This week's passage from Isaiah is one of the most soaring and beautiful in all of scripture, I believe. It offers words of encouragement for those who were standing in the midst of brokenness and seeking a way forward. Isaiah's words were spoken to comfort those who had returned from exile in Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, it was one thing to have heard about the devastation of Jerusalem and of the temple, as this story that was passed down by those who lived through it. But it was another thing to stand right there in the midst of it and wonder, where even do we begin? Yet when those who had returned were standing there and facing that utter destruction, and hope must have felt fleeting, they were bolstered by the knowledge of a God who can and will create joy out of desolation. The promise that they would not labor in vain, that they would be blessed, and that God would be with them. In our reading from Luke, there are layers of endings and beginnings. The placement of today's passage is the beginning of Jesus' final sermon before the Last Supper. So it is the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. On that last night together, as the powers that be were circling and closing in, Jesus knew it. And no doubt his disciples did too. They were looking to him for some sort of triumphant deliverance, a victory, a new exodus from Roman occupation, maybe even something like that inauguration of the new heavens and new earth described by Isaiah. They were expecting that Jesus, as the long-awaited Messiah, would act with power and glory. But instead of victory in earthly terms, Jesus offered them salvation on God's terms. Messianic deliverance won't look like what you think it will, he says. The stuff of this world must end. And when it does, it will be devastating, just like it was for your forebears who lived in exile. But just like then, there is hope now to be found. So take heart, you will not perish. Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Think of it this way. Luke began with Mary singing that God's mission was to lift the lowly, to scatter the proud in their hearts, and to bring down the powerful from their thrones. And now here in Jesus' last sermon at the end, he presented this difficult truth that this world turning that was proclaimed will involve struggle and loss, trial and adversity. It just doesn't happen magically. His passion was about to begin, and this new path that he was forging for them and for us, well, it led through that place called the place of the skull. The good news, though, is that it doesn't end there. That same path continued beyond the cross to the empty tomb. And what he's telling us, what he told them and he tells us, is that despite these coming trials, indeed in the very midst of the depths of despair in our lives, we need to remain encouraged and trust that Mary's song is still unfolding around us and a new creation is being born. Elsewhere in scriptures, these are called the birth pangs, the pain that can herald new life. These two stories of Isaiah and of the temple's destruction and the seeds of hope in it would have been powerful for the first hearers of Luke's gospel. The Gospel of Luke was likely written a short time, perhaps 2 or 3 decades, after the Romans had put down a major Jewish rebellion and destroyed the temple in the process. So think of something that happened 20 or 30 years ago. Somebody throw something out there for me. The Berlin Wall coming down? Yeah. Not that far away. It had resonance for them when he tells this story of destruction. They had lived it. And so in today's passage, by foretelling these traumatic events, he effectively reframed them as part of God's world-turning, world-transforming work. These were concrete signs that not all was lost, but rather your redemption is drawing near. You are here, and I'm still with you. They are powerful for us, too, because they teach us that that ultimate ending, Jesus' death, always leads to the ultimate new beginning, the resurrection. No matter how hopeless things seem, God will make a way out of no way, remaking the world and turning it seemingly upside down in order to create it in what is really right side up. God knows that we need hope in order to stand in the midst of these endings and beginnings that can turn our lives upside down. Just as the Israelites did, just as those gathered around the table in the upper room with Jesus did, just as those who read and listened to this gospel first did. Endings and beginnings are all around us and woven into our lives. Whether we look outward into the world or inward into ourselves, we can find devastation and destruction, war and betrayal, sorrow and loss. But we can also find joy and delight, peace and wisdom, endurance and rejoicing, and trust. Trust that no matter what, God is with us. In the midst of suffering, God cries with us. In the midst of celebration, God delights with us. In the midst of anxiety, God embraces us with peace. And in moments of doubt, God listens to us and loves us just the same. Trust in all of this and more is the foundation of hope. And hope is the gift that God gives again and again throughout the scriptures to help us live through the ups and downs of our lives. Hope led those returning from exile to believe that they could rebuild Jerusalem. Hope is what remained of Luke's vision at the end of times. And hope is what we have to draw on when everything in our lives feels like just too much. So I wonder, what is giving you hope today? What do you need for hope in your life right now? Do you know someone that needs a word of hope, and can you give that word of hope to them? My prayer is that as we come to the close of another church year, as we face the various endings and beginnings of our own lives, as we see them at play in the world around us, that we will join our ancestors in faith and step forward in hope. Because when we do, when we do this, we then offer that hope to the world, which I think really needs it. Amen.